we present Rebecca Wright, Alex Jones, and Mary Wimbush in a new play by David Calcutt, based on a traditional story. The Otherworld Child.
There, that's better. Blowing a bit rough tonight. Now then, Kitty, love, you tell me what all this crying's about.
Well, you can see for yourself, Gran. Look at him.
What you, Babby, what's up with him? He's bonny enough. Aren't you, eh? Oh, my first-rate grandchild.
But can't you see, Gran? Like long scratches all down his cheek.
It's just a birthmark.
I can't hardly bear to look at him. He tries to hide it, but I can see.
It'll fail.
Tom says he's cursed.
Cursed? And what would you and Tom know about it? What do any of them know about it? And then marks ain't a curse, love. I'll tell you what they are. They're the marks of love. Marks of love and favour.
What favour?
Tom's on night shift, is he?
Yeah.
Good. Good. This tale ain't for his ears. He wouldn't believe it, and he wouldn't make no sense of it if he did.
What tale?
The tale of them marks on your young'un's face. Now, this tale starts a good way back when there wasn't nearly so many factories round here as there is now, and you could breathe the air without taking in a chest full of smoke. There was a young woman named Alice, who lived on a little farm over at Gospel Oak, when it was still open fields and Hobbs Lane wasn't nothing but a track running through a wood of the same name. It cut her off from the rest of the town, that wood did. And what with her folks being dead and her having no husband, her could go from one week to the next without so much as passing the time of day with another human soul.
Her must have been lonely.
I ain't saying I was, and I ain't saying I wasn't. But there was plenty of folks in the town ready to pass comment and put in their pennyworth of pity.
Well, I seen her just last week out on the Bilston Road.
Bilston? What was it doing over there?
Well, I don't know for sure, but Dolly Lee lives out that way.
What would her be going to old Dolly for?
Well, what's the last Friday in the month?
Who was going for a charm to get herself husband?
I reckon her was, poor thing.
It'll take more than one of Dolly's charms to make that come about her. I mean, her ain't exactly old, but her ain't getting no younger.
What with that crooked leg of hers and all?
I must get pretty lonely out there all by herself.
And I reckon that's how things are fixed to stay.
All in all, I reckon Alice was happy to have that wood between herself and the town.
And who was Limey, sir?
Well, from birth, eh? I know her wasn't what you'd call ill-looking. Her was plain in her looks and her dress, and I knowed it. But no matter how plain or crooked or even downright ugly folks might be on the outside, inside we've got a longing for love. And Alice wasn't no different to anybody else in that.
New moon. Show to me who my true love's bound to be. New moon, clear and bright, bring to me my love tonight.
So I spoke the charm old Dolly had taught her, standing naked under the new moon. And then I slept and waited for love to come riding into her dreams.
He's coming. Who is it?
And sure enough, it did.
Him?
Whoa!
Joe Whitehouse.
How do you, Alice?
The carter and carrier.
Oh, fine morning, isn't it?
Is it? I hadn't noticed.
It's grand. Hard at it, I see.
I'm always hard at it, keeping this place.
You want a man about the place. Help you with heavy jobs like that.
Well, I've managed up till now.
Oh, but if you had a man. Hired man, I mean.
Is there anything I can do for you?
There's more I might be able to do for you, Alice.
What do you mean?
I'm on my way back from Dudley Market. Got an old cart load of stuff for you. Is there anything you can see takes your fancy?
No, there ain't.
You ain't look.
I don't need to.
Here, look. Some new pots and pans.
I've got all I need.
Or what about some ribbon? I've got some coloured ribbon here.
Well, what are we wanting with ribbon?
There's some red here. And blue. And there's this green. Ooh. That'd be nice in your hair.
My hair will do as it is.
Oh, but if you was to put this green ribbon in it, ooh.
I don't have the money to go throwing away on bits of ribbon.
A farthing's all I'm asking.
I ain't got a farthing.
I can't believe that.
You can believe what you like. You ain't got nothing there I want, so you might as well be on your way.
All right. Comes the summer now when a young woman don't want a piece of ribbon to tie in her hair. Hey, here, take it.
I told you.
Yeah, you can have that green for nothing. Do you know me, beauty? Hey, make sure you're wearing it next time I'm round mine. See it, Alice.
I don't want it. Take it back. I don't want it.
Prouder was, you see. Just like her name, Alice Proudfoot. And her'd never let on, not even to herself hardly, that Joe was the chap who took her heart.
Because it won't do you no good, Alice. No good at all. You're nothing to him. You never will be, that's the hard truth of it.
Even so, I still put that ribbon in her hair.
It does look pretty. It suits you all. Makes you look a fool, that's what. And if anybody was to see you wearing it, that's what they'd call you. Fun and sport, that's all they give it you for. Fun and sport and mockery. There. That's where it can go. That and all your daft dreams. In smoke up the chimney.
And was that the reason he gave it to her? Just to make fun?
So her reckoned.
Folks can be cruel.
They can.
I've courted Nancy, courted Jane. I've courted Peggy too. But Alice, there's the girl I love. As soon you all shall know.
Alice?
Alice Proudfoot.
And why not?
You must be joking.
With her looks and you with yourn.
Looks ain't everything, you know, Peggy.
Send the engineer a case.
Oh, I'd love to see her with that ribbon in her hair.
I'll bet it'll make her look quite handsome.
You reckon, do you?
Well, if you were standing a good way off from her, with one eye shut and your back was turned.
And now we're coming to the burden of the tale. Here we've got these two, as unlikely a pair for making a match as you might find. All it needs is summat to bring them together.
Oh, I don't see as anything could bring them two together.
Oh, kitty love, there's forces on earth we might know nothing about, but they'm there all the same. One evening, I was coming back home through Hobbs Wood. The day was darkening and the shadows was rising. And as I made her way along the track, I heard a noise that made her stop.
What was that? There it is again. What is it?
And I stepped off the track and saw something half hidden in a hawthorn bush. And I moved the branches and thorns apart. And there I saw
a human child.
Its naked skin caked with muddy earth, lying on the ground and looking up at her with its big black eyes.
Only a few days old. What hard-hearted creature left you here to die? I won't hurt you. There's some wicked folk in the world, but I ain't one of them. You come on with me now. I'll take you on.
And it was only when I got back to her cottage and the candles was lit that I saw what a strange creature this was I'd found. Because what I'd took for mud and earth was the colour of its skin. And what it took for thorns and twigs was the child's hair. And its mouth was filled with small white teeth, and The eyes that looked up at her was gold and black. Oh, it was plain, in fact, that this was no ordinary human child.
But human or not, you're a child. Alone and helpless. And you need looking after.
So, I fed it with milk and bread and wrapped it in her shawl and sat down by the fireside with the creature cradled in her arms. She sat there long into the night, as if all the love locked up inside her had took the form of that little creature nestling in her arms. And I was afraid to let go, lest somehow I should lose it. So I sat and I rocked and I sang until the night grew not so dark. And with the rising of the dawn, her eyes closed and her too slept. And when I woke, it was full light. And the shawl in her arms was empty and the child was gone.
Where is he? The window, then. Someone's come in and snatched him.
So I thought, till I turned and seen what was lying on the table.
A coin?
A single, shining gold coin. And then her node. That whatever it was that had come to her in the form of a child had gone back again and rewarded her for her love and kindness.
That's all very well. What's it got to do with their marks on me babby's face?
You'll see. Now, that gold coin added up to more money than I'd ever had in a life before. And I decided to put it to good use. I fixed up that cottage and farm of hers, and new fences put up.
Bought herself new pots and pans.
And fresh paint for the doors and windows.
Oh, and a milking stool.
And a cow to go with it.
Where's her got the money from for all that?
Oh, that's something I'd like to know.
And they wasn't the only ones.
Well, seems something's turned up for you and now, mistake, Alice.
Does it?
It's all happened so sudden and all. If I didn't know no better, I'd say you must have dug up yourself a pot of gold.
Is this something you're wanting?
Oh, a mug of that fresh milk you've just poured wouldn't go amiss.
I reckon I can spare that. Here.
Oh, tell. Oh, beautiful. Oh, there ain't nothing like it. Milk still warm from a cow's tit and poured by a woman's hand. I reckon I could drink another of them.
I reckon you've had all I can spare. Well, if you've done...
I'll be on my way. I've just stopped to market. Anything you might want, fetch it.
Anything I might want, I can fetch myself.
Oh, right enough. Well, come, beauty. But if you ever do want me services, Alice, you know you've only got her at.
Ask a favour of him. That's all he's waited for. To have you beholden to him so he can make some mockery of it. No fear.
Soon winter started drawing in, and that gold coin was about used up. And one night, I was sitting at her table, reckoning up how I could see herself through till spring, when there comes something scratching at her door.
Who's there? Who is it? Who's there? It was that child.
It was. And he is a stranger thing. Though only a few months had gone by, the child had grown some, and there it stood now, looking about 4 or 5 years old, wet and windswept and soaked to the bone.
Suppose I took it in again?
And you suppose right. It all happened as before. I dried it and fed it, wrapped it in a blanket and cuddled it asleep before the fire. And I sat there with the child in her arms, gazing down at its savage face that looked so strange there, and yet so natural.
Why did you come to me? What is it that brings you out of whatever wild places you roam to my door? My arms? Is it just for this? A touch of human love and kindness? Or is there something more? Some secret thing you bring from out there? Oh, there's so much about you I can't fathom.
So I sang and I slept. And when I woke, it was gone, leaving a gold coin in its place. Nor was that the last time it came. That child or creature or whatever it was became a regular visitor. Though I could never tell when it might show up.
And each time it come, it left a gold coin.
It did, though I never looked for no payment.
Must have been getting pretty well off.
I was indeed. And it don't go unnoticed.
Here at the market herself I was, Joe. And you should have seen the things she bought.
A new bonnet with flowers on it.
And a pair of fancy boots.
Fancy boots. And a whole basket full of ribbons.
All colours.
Imagine her, all dressed up in a finery.
Parading round her farmyard.
Showing herself off to her pigs and her chickens.
It would be a sight worth seeing. And I reckon I just might take myself over there and see it.
Will you be careful, Joe? There's probably waiting for you all got up in them fancy clothes.
Before you know it, he'll be asking her to the Michaelmas dance.
Eh? Well, you never know. I just might, you know.
Though he laughed along with them, he meant what he'd said.
The Michaelmas dance?
That's right.
No.
Why not?
Oh, I ain't one for dances.
You ever been to one?
No.
Where do you now, then? Alice, you must go to one dance before...
Before what?
Look, I'm asking you straight to come with me. Now, what's to be your answer?
Before I tell you, let me ask you a question. How come you're masking me?
How come? Well, you just bought yourself some new clothes, didn't you?
What if I have?
Well, I'd like to see you in them. And a dance is the perfect occasion.
Oh. For you to have a bit more fun at my expense.
No.
Well, it's been that way up till now, Joe. What?
You've got it all wrong, Alice. It's because...
Go on. I'm waiting.
Oh, I can see it's no good. You give me your answer.
Hold up a minute. I ain't give you no such thing. I'm just making sure things are straight and open between us. I'll come to this dance with you. As your companion, and not your fool. And while we're there, you'll be either gentleman and treat me as if you're with me for my own sake and nothing more. What you make of it after, that's your own affair.
I've got no thought of making...
Just make me your promise.
You can take it as made.
Right then. I'll expect you to call for me.
I will.
And if I'm to travel in that thing, you might think about giving it a lick of paint. And grooming that horse of yours.
Alice... My cart will be bright and shining good as new. And may also be decked out with ribbons and garlands, all in your honour. Go on then, Beauty. Let's get off.
Seems like he was beginning to change his tune a bit.
He was. Oh, ain't nothing like the gleam of gold for helping a man see beauty where he couldn't see none before. And most folks had to admit, even them with the sourest mouths and the sharpest tongues, that... When Alice went to the dance, if not beautiful, there was a shine about her face and a grace about her step that none of them had seen before. And them that knowed no better would have thought that Joe Whitehouse was proud to have her on his arm and was courting her true and proper. But them as did know better, they knowed that it wasn't Alice he was courting, but her newfound wealth.
You enjoyed yourself tonight, then, Alice?
Oh, yeah. It was a grand time. The grandest I've had.
Oh, I'm glad.
It's something I won't ever forget. And I thank you for it.
Whoa!
What are you stopping for?
There's something I want to say to you.
Something you can't say while you're driving?
That's right.
You best get it said, then.
I've been considering, you see, Alice.
What's that?
What?
Over there. Something in your trees.
Oh, just a fox, probably. Alice, I was saying...
I've got to go.
Right?
It's late.
What are you doing?
I'll walk the rest of the way. It ain't far.
Well, you can't.
It's quicker through the woods. You go home. Thank you again. Good night.
Wait!
But her was gone. Into the dark of the trees. And him left sat there alone on top of his cart. Well, it took him aback, of course, and for a while all he could do was sit there wondering what he should do. And then, though he could never for sure say afterwards what it was made him do it, all of a sudden he jumped down off his cart and followed her into the wood.
I don't know what I'm bothering for, going off like that. Ow! Ought to leave her to it. Ow! Blast and damnation!
So at last, clothes torn by brambles, hands scratched by thorns and briars, he come stumbling out the other side, just a little way from Alice's cottage. Oh. To see the last thing on earth he ever expected. For there was Alice, standing at her doorway, a lighted candle in her hand. And there was a young man stepping past her into the cottage, and her stepping in after him and closing the door behind them.
I must be seeing things. Her, with a secret lover.
So he left the wood and crossed the yard and stood beside the door. And from inside he could hear the sound of singing. He crept round to the window and looked in. And there they both was. Alice in her chair, a face lit soft and shining in the candlelight. And that young man kneeling naked on the floor, his head laid in her lap, while her fingers stroked his hair.
What's going on?
Joe!
Who's he?
You shouldn't be here.
Who am you, you?
Down, Joe.
On your feet, mate. My God!
And the man sprang to his feet. And it wasn't a man no longer, but a beast. Covered with thick black hair. Claws on its hands and hooves on its feet. And for a minute it stood there glaring at them both. And then it leapt forward, knocking Joe down. And with another spring, it was out of the door and gone bounding away into the dark. And there on the floor lay Joe, crying in pain and clutching at his face that was cut all down one side with three long, deep gashes.
You poor thing! You poor, wounded creature!
And then I knelt beside him and took him in her arms and pressed his torn and bleeding face close to her breast, as if to take the pain and the hurt away with all the love that was locked in her heart.
It's all right. I've got you. I'll look after you now.
Which I did, because he was sorely ill with a fever that burned deep down in him, as if them scratches had waked his soul. But Alice tended and cared for him over the weeks that followed, till he was fit and well again. But not as he had been before.
Me face. Look at me face.
For it was scarred beyond all healing, with them three long red marks.
How can I ever show it again? Who'll be able to lay eyes on me without their stomachs turning and having to look away?
I will, Joe. I'll look at you and not turn away. You're as handsome to me now as you ever was. And I'll hold you dear in my heart as I ever did.
You mean... All this time?
All this time. And if you're willing, all the time from this time on.
Then he looked at her, as if for the first time, and of a sudden he knowed that as her had loved him all this time, so he in his turn had loved her, as he loved her then. But it had took pain and hurt and injury to bring him to it.
So they were married?
Ah, so they was.
And a handsome pair they make and all.
Oh, very handsome.
Well, it's as well they've took each other, for there ain't nobody else would take either of them.
But with his face and her looks, I reckon they make the perfect match.
And so they did.
And that creature, he never come back?
I didn't say that. About a year after they was married, when Alice was full of their first child, they were sitting there in the cottage one evening.
What was that?
Someone's outside the door.
Alice.
I'll go and see.
Be careful.
I opened the door and looked out into the dark. First, there was nothing to be seen. Then...
What is it? Bring it in. Let's see. What's the matter?
I don't know. I'm almost afraid.
Open it.
Whatever that creature was, and wherever it had come from, it had finished its business and gone for good, leaving Alice and Joe not only love, but wealth for the rest of their lives.
And these marks on me babby's face?
Yes, same the same. The same as was on your father's face when he was born, and my father's too. The self-same marks as was scratched into the face of your great-great-great-grandfather all them years ago.
But my father's got no mark on his face.
Oh, not now, he hasn't. They faded a few days after he was born, as the marks on your child's face will fade too. They stay there just long enough to remind us of what it was brought we into this world. And what it is still has a claim on us. That other world. Close and far. Distant and near. And though they might fade, we all of us carry them scars within us. They've been scratched deep into our hearts and our souls. And they'll never come out.
In The Other World Child by David Calcutt, Jo was played by Alex Jones and Alice by Rebecca Wright. Gran was Mary Wimbush, Kitty Kimberly Hope, Peggy Sheila Kelly, and Abraham Jonathan Wyatt. The Other World Child was directed at Pebble Mill by Nigel Bryant.